I believe that he will be a great blessing to you this morning. Dr. James Stone.
Back in the late 1950s, they used to sing a spiritual, a couple of spirituals. One of them was titled, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. The chorus of that song went something like this. If I could sing, I'd sing it, but I can't sing. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. When I hear that last sound, gonna get up out of that ground, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Another chorus that deals with the resurrection, another chorus that they sung in the late 50s, deals with the rapture. And it goes something like this. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone. I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm going to rise with a shout, going to fly. Going to ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now, we used to sing those. I was quite young at that time, back in the late 50s. I had a powerful memory at about 1 year or 2 years old. We used to sing those. And I don't think we knew what we were singing about, because those songs, I don't know the songwriter, don't know just exactly the inspiration he was catching, but according to 1 Corinthians 15, those are biblical songs. There's no grave going to hold us down. God, the dead in Christ is going to rise. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I show you a mystery. The dead in Christ shall rise. We shall be changed. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. We sung those songs. We didn't know exactly what they meant. They do, in fact, refer to the resurrection of the dead and the coming of Jesus to rapture those who are alive. But there are some principles in that relates to us today. And that's what I want the Holy Spirit to open up to us this morning and let us recognize, oh, hallelujah, that we are on the King's highway, praise the Lord. And we're walking with the King. We're not walking for the King. We're walking with the King. If you have your Bibles, turn to me, 1 John. 1 John, powerful little book of 5 chapters. Out of that 5 chapters, 46 times, I believe it is, the word love is mentioned. So this book is a book about love. It is probably the most misunderstood subject in Christianity today, the love of God. Yea, it's more than that. It's the love that God is, for God is love, along with the 46 times that's mentioned in that book. Life is mentioned 16 times. Light is mentioned 6 times. And I think those are synonyms. I think love is life. Life is light. Light is love. Life is love. Chapter 3. Want to use 3 verses, possibly 4, out of this book to be the text for this morning. If we'd have a title, it's not necessary for me to have a title, but if we had one, I'd like to call this Goodbye World, Goodbye. Now you think I'm talking about the rapture. But I'm not talking about the rapture. That's a part of it. We'll be talking a little bit about that. And you may think, when I say goodbye, world, goodbye, I'm talking about, how should I say it, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, movies, bowling alleys, and all those stuff. But I want to go a little deeper than that. I want to say goodbye, world, goodbye, in order that Jesus can live. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Heavenly Father, as I open this message with this prayer, Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us through this vessel of clay, for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John said in his gospel, no man hath seen God. The only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he shall declare him. I need a little help in this message this morning. Brother Allen, Lord, come and help if you will. No man has seen God. Did you know that God, if you can figure God out, the God you figured out is not God. God is invisible, incomprehensible. You cannot understand him. You cannot see him. You cannot grasp him. He is incomprehensible, the incomprehensible one. Blessed Trinity, as was sung. Job said in the book of Job, can a man by reason find out God? Can in our puny mind come to understand that which is not understandable? Can we even begin to comprehend, even grasp to the minute detail, he who is incomprehensible? No man hath seen God. And if God had not chosen to open up himself, reveal himself, we who are finite could not understand he who is infinite. But praise God, he opened up himself. And I like to visualize and like to try to let the Holy Spirit take my mind and reveal to me a little bit of this majesty of the love that God is. For I see that God opening up himself, revealing himself, flowing out of his bosom, oh hallelujah, is a power, is a source that is so powerful and so capable that wherever it goes, whatever it touches, whatever it moves, it creates, it produces, it's life, it's light, it's love. So out of that bosom of God flows love. visualize it, you can. I don't know where you can visualize it, but somewhere off out there somewhere is the invisible, incomprehensible God out there somewhere, yet here. And out of that bosom flows love and is manifested in a visible form. Love personified, the Son of God. Now, in one sense, Brother Ward can't represent Son of God, and yet in another sense, because he's Christian, if it's working correctly, he can. But I want to suggest to visualize just a little bit here. What manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Paul said in Colossians that it pleased the Father that in him, in the Son of God, should all the fullness dwell. He is the visible manifestation of the invisible God who is love. Oh, God, help us this morning. Folks, there is a tremendous chasm between Creator and creation. There is a tremendous gulf, a tremendous gap between Creator and creation. It's a gap that man cannot cross, that man cannot climb. He's always man, even though he's the epitome of creation, he is always creation. He is never creator. But thank God, because God opened up himself, disclosed himself through the Son of God, there is one who has spanned that gap, crossed that chasm. Oh, hallelujah. The bridge over troubled water. He is our touch, our revelation, our understanding, our contact with he who is incomprehensible and invisible. Thank God that Jesus was made flesh. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God dwells with us. But I want us to understand what's going on in this business of the love of God. Because any principle that's in the New Testament is a principle that's in the Old Testament. Any principle that's there after the fall is there before the fall. Truth is truth throughout all generations. What manner of love the hath bestowed upon us that we might be called sons of God. The visible manifestation Jesus, the Jesus we know in the New Testament, he is God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in him. He is God. Son of Emmanuel, God dwells with us. But let's go back before the fall. Before the fall, God said, let us make man in our image. And in chapter 2, Scripture says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Who is this God that formed man out of the dust of the earth? Oh, hallelujah. Folks, there is only one person that bridges the gap between Creator and creation, God and creation, and that's the Son of God. The Son of God. I need another body. Come here, Brother Allen. These are our two WEF evangelists, and so I'm going to use them. Just hang right there. Now I'm gonna try to just share with you what God has opened up to me, and then what it means to us today. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. I want you to form me. You're going to have to lay down. On your back, please.
I got something to tell you.
Now we know how he gets through my messages. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. I want us to recognize. Form him if you can. I mean, just go through the motions. Just go through the motions. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, folks, stay with us here. At this point, we have a lifeless form. We're going to see how lifeless he is in a moment. But, folks, that lifeless form has no power, no life. It is impossible for that lifeless form to say, I am going to rise. It's impossible for that lifeless form to say, I'm confessing that I'm going to come alive. It's impossible for that lifeless form to say, I'm going to have faith, and by my faith, I'm going to live. Now, this is what the evangelist was talking about Friday night. Faith can be presumptuous sometimes. But that which has been formed by God has no power in it. There is no life in it. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we might be called sons of God. And yet the scripture says, no man hath seen God, the only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father. What does it mean, only begotten Son of God? Now, the word begotten, we understand, means my son John, I beget him. But it means more than that. In fact, when the scripture says Jesus is the only begotten Son, it's not talking about the Father begetting the Son of God as I beget John, my son. What it's talking about, the only begotten Son, it means, begotten means he is of the same nature, the same essence of the Father. Hallelujah. He is the only begotten Son of God. There is only one Son of the Father, and that's the Son of God made manifest in Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, but what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we might be called sons of God. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 38, Adam is called a son of God. But yet John said there's only one begotten son of God. Oh, what great love. What great love been bestowed upon us that we might be called sons of God. This lifeless form has no power in it. It doesn't have any faith. It can't confess nothing. Creation never can confess anything. I've never seen anywhere in the scripture where it says creation can confess creation and it become a reality. But what I see in the scripture is he who is able and spoke the world into existence can speak, and that which he speaks comes to life because he is life. After God, I think Son of God, the only one who spanned the gap between God and man, form. Man in the dust of the earth, he breathed into his nostrils. I'm not going to ask you to breathe into his nostrils. That's good. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. The love of God flowed out of God into this lifeless form. And when that life of God hit that lifeless form, life came, love came. Oh, hallelujah. He was able then, get up, boy. He was able, you got to pay attention, he was able to come alive because life was in him. Now, folks, just stay with us here. The life that's in this lifeless form is the breath of God flowing in him. It is nothing in himself. It is God, 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 God. Now, to show you how messed up we are, we get the thing and it's us. Now, I picked on these because they're brothers, and I don't think they'll mind getting too close together, each other. I can't really portray, I can't really put them together like they need to be. But this is Adam, son of God. Why is he called son of God? He's still creation. He's not creator. He's still a work of God, creation, but yet he's called Son of God, oh, hallelujah, because the only begotten Son of God, who is the only Son, oh, hallelujah, now lives in him, and he in him, and him in he. Now, he has no life. Give me this. He has no life. If he moves, it's because God moves him. Walk out across there. Now get in step. There you go. In Adam until the love of God, the breath of God breathed into him and he came alive because he became one with God. Not that Adam was God and God was Adam. They always remain distinct. The creation never becomes the creator. The creator never becomes creation. Oh, hallelujah. But as Paul said, the Son of God is before all things, and by him all things consist. The love of God is so powerful, when it breathed into him the breath of life, it can be said that even though this was Adam, he was God because God permeated him. He was the Son of God. Now, don't you dare misunderstand me. Creation never becomes God. Never becomes creator. Creator never becomes creation. But when things are working right, God so permeates his creation that it can be said that the life that's in creation is indeed God.
That's it.
Walk out through there again. But this time, Adam is going to begin to perceive some things. He begins to look at how he's... He begins to look at how he's moving. Oh, hallelujah. In the second chapter of Genesis, God brought all of creation, the animals, the beasts of the fields, to Adam, and Adam named them. How could this lifeless form name them? Because he's connected to he who created them. He's a son of God. Not that creation is a son of God. There's only one begotten son of God. But because that son of God is so permeating Adam, oh hallelujah, it can be said that Adam is a son of God because he who is life flows in him. Are you following me? Now walk out through there. And I want you to get to acting like most preachers act after God begins to move through them. You know how to do that. That was a slip of the tongue. Go ahead. Yeah. Good. You know what happened, folks? This is what I call the awakening. He awoke to his own identity. And just as what happened here happens. When you awake, when Adam awoke to his identity of thinking that he had something to do with the move of God through him, what happened? There was a separation from the life force. And because there was a separation from the life force, he died. Oh, God. When Satan came to Eve and said, "Hath God said?" He said, "He don't want you to eat that tree because you'll become as God." For Satan to hit Eve with that temptation, there had to be some thinking already there that that might have been a possibility. God was so powerful working through Adam and Eve, working through creation. Now only those who are created with the freedom of choice can do this. God was so powerful flowing through them. The love of God was so powerful flowing through them. They begin to perceive that some way life was in them. They awoke. And when they awoke, they died. And now there is a separation between man and God. And there is no life. Just as the evangelist preached last night, much better job than I could do this morning. Curse with a curse. What did they do? The first thing they tried to do when they opened their eyes, they saw They saw themselves. Oh, did they see themselves? Before they were seeing God flowing through them. Before they seen the power of God manifesting through them. Now they see life was creation. And what did they do? They had a problem. They tried to cover it up. They tried to cover it up. Oh, God, help us. Paul said in Galatians writing, he said, in Jesus Christ, circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. Circumcision, neither circumcision availeth anything. So much we do in the church, in the guise of Christianity, availeth nothing. 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 It makes no difference how high I can jump, how high I can shout, what kind of an emotion I can get into. It avails nothing unless God is in it. Unless God is in it. Oh, Lord, help us here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. He said to the Galatian saints, faith which worketh by love. One of the reasons why we're struggling with faith is we think faith is the answer. Faith is not the answer. And even as the evangelist said Friday night, that's exactly what's wrong with the church. We are faithlessness. But we're trying to build faith. We're trying to create faith. But folks, faith is a production of God Himself, of the love of God. Now just stay with me here. I think we can work through this. Let's go back before the fall. When God and creation are connected together, the love of God flowing of the Father, flowing through the Son to creation. What is that love? It's life. He breathed into him the breath of life. That's love. The love of God is flowing. And because love is flowing here, there is a connection here. It's the groundwork. It's the groundswell. It's the basis. Now abide a faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. The love. It's that which flows between God and creation. When the connection is there. Oh, hallelujah. The love of God is so powerful as it flows from the Father through the Son to creation, to Adam here. It creates an atmosphere of walking in God to such an extent. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, it produces a faith. What understanding and seeing as God understands and sees, because we are connected to Him. Scripture says we are made overcomers by our faith. Sure we are. But faith is not the power of believing up here. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. It is not something that creation can do. It's being in that love channel with God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me illustrate. My wife and I have been married 26 years. Got to get that right. Good. My faith would have been, I knew I was going to get it later on if that wasn't right. How did I know that? I understood that I was going to get it because you'd get me before when I said it was 25 and it was really 24 and it was really 25. Now just stay with me. My wife and I had been married 26 years. Because of that love, that relationship between Louise and I, she knows how I'm going to act in a situation when it comes up. And I see all your wives going, that's been married longer than 37 seconds. I can say it this way. She has great faith in knowing what I'm going to do. How does she do that? Because she knows me. How does she know me? Because of the love that's been flowing between me and her for 26 years. That's the reason why Paul says, but faith which worketh by love. That relationship with God, you're connected with God. Oh, hallelujah. We're not there yet, but when you're connected with God, we are dead. And when we are dead, Christ is living. And when he speaks in us, it happens because he speaks. We're not there yet, but we got to get there. Paul said, what manner of love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. The love that reached out to create us and to make us one with himself. What love. What love that would let a created being be called a son of God. But separation occurred. And we were lost. Separated. Connection broken. We didn't understand the ways of God. Instead of hope, we have fear. But in the second verse of that chapter 3 of 1 John, it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. What does that word beloved mean? Beloved, it means you who have received the love of God. Beloved, beloved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, Son of God, came into this world to be manifested as Jesus in order that we could be what? Reconciled back to God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's a great time, it's a great occasion, a resurrection of the dead, a transformation, a rapture of the church. Paul says it this way, so is the resurrection. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was created a living soul. The second Adam, a quickening spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had time to go through that whole chapter. But that chapter moves on and talks about we have borne the image of the earthly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption shall inherit incorruption. For corruption shall put off. So incorruption shall put off corruption, and our mortality should put on to immortality. Now listen to this. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen. The sting of death is sin. But listen closely. The strength of sin is the law. What a statement to stick the law in here. Why is it stuck in here? But thank God, we shall be victorious through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Why, folks? God works through us when we become a Christian, a new creature in Christ. Transforms us, makes us anew. And God begins to flow through us. And it's phenomenal. It blows our mind. We can speak to demons and demons leave. We say to the one who is sick, be healed, and they're healed. We preach a message on salvation and people get saved. But then we begin to perceive that we have something to do with it. The strength of sin is the law. We then begin to try to live by the law. And just as it separated Adam and God in the beginning, it will separate the new Christian and God now. Because you begin to perceive that life is in your ability to do what God says to do. In fact, folks, we preachers have told you to do that. We haven't told you how. The third verse of chapter, in closing this morning, the third verse of 1 John chapter 3 says this: every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, because we're so confused on what Christianity is and thinking that life is in the creation, we think that's a statement that tells us if we expect to see Jesus coming back, we better purify ourselves because he's pure. That's not what he's saying, folks. That's not what he's saying. Every man that hath this hope in him. 14 times in the book of John, it talks about being in him, in God, God in us. Every man that haveth this hope in him, having this hope in him, what hope is it? It's this partaker of the divine nature. It's Christ living in him. It's God in him. It's him in God. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. How does he purify himself? Not because of any law he does, anything he does, because he that is pure is in him. That's how he purifies himself. Purify himself even as he is pure. Who? Not this guy, but this guy. The God that is in him is pure. And because the God is in him, oh, hallelujah, the God that's in him comes out of him in purity. And we walk this king's highway in a purity because he is pure. Folks, this is what I call the Lucifer principle. It's killing the church. It's killing us. We begin to perceive that God is in us, just like Lucifer, probably the most supreme celestial being ever created. God used him evidently, what record we have, greater than any other celestial being. Perfect in beauty, the sum of the matter, perfect in beauty and wisdom. But some way he began to perceive that that life was in him. And you know the story in Isaiah, I will be lifted up, I will do this, I will sit on the mountain. And oh God, help us. I've even told a few congregations, you are somebody because God is in you. Oh, God, help me. God, forgive me. We are somebody because of God, period. I am creation. I have no life. There is nothing in me. There is nothing in me. The only life I have is God flowing through me. The only life I have is Christ in me. The only life I have is the love of God flowing through me. The strength of sin is the law. Why? Because we have a burning desire down inside to do as God wants us to do. Yes, we do. God placed that desire in us. It's there. But we must understand that that purity comes forth because Jesus Christ lives in me. There is an ache in my heart right now. And this is the only way I know how to express it. There is an ache in my heart right now. God loves you. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you that you could be called sons of God. God loves you. Some way, somehow, because of the fall, because of our warped thinking, we don't know how to let God love us. We don't know how to open up the windows of our soul and say, God, love me. And that's all he has, folks. That's all he has. That's all he has. Let me love you. Let me love you. For my love, God says, is such a force, it will produce what I want it to produce in your life.